I have a very special guest in the studio today, and her name is Verena Summer. Hello, Verena.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Well, very good. You know, actually, you asked me if I'm going to announce you, and I have this trick of actually having you announce yourself.
I will do. Okay. Nick, I'm a veteran of the service industry. I've been in it 25 years, and I started as a frontline representative and worked my way up to be the manager of the call center. And in that process, I became very familiar with the techniques and the strategies that are proven to work to provide customer satisfaction, de-escalate the anxious client, and I've worked with both internal and external clients, that's your staff and your customers, in order to be able to bring about customer satisfaction results.
And what a place to be actually to learn all that. I mean, customer service and call center?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was trial by fire, definitely.
Okay. So, what is the things that you pretty much, tell me about a little more about yourself and your company.
Well, my company is called The Service Advisors. And what we do is we advocate a 7-step solution in order to bring in more business. We can make your company healthier. We can make your revenues grow. I have a statistic for you.
Okay.
Did you know that 11% of your revenue is lost to dissatisfied customers?
Okay.
That's a lot.
I mean, I don't want that.
No, you don't want that. So I can help you get that 11% back so that you never lose it again. I mean that could be a significant amount.
When you say 11% of the customer, I assume you're talking about certain industries that deal with customers, or is it just like across
this
the board?
This is from a Cooper's a website that's just generic 11% across the board, regardless of your corporation.
Wow. Okay. So your business deals with that. And
right. We're a consulting business, so we meet with clients and do an initial assessment to see where they need to build their service culture. There's 7 steps total in the service culture package. You may be strong in some and have opportunities for improvement in others. So that's why you go through the initial assessment, so that we can help you design a strategy that's customized for you and your business.
Okay, great. Well, I gave you a little bit of advertising there. That's cool.
Thank you.
Now, why we're here is actually to try and reach down to the bottom and try to help the listeners that might have employee issues. And I do not know anybody that has employees that doesn't have an employee issue.
That's correct.
To strengthen either their leadership abilities or find ways how to deal with employees that might be difficult. So tell me, what is, in your opinion, the most important thing or a couple of things that every business owner should know?
Well, one thing is they really need to concentrate on leadership. So that's, even though that's not listed in my 7 steps, I indicate that as one of the major components of the program. If you don't have the right leadership skills, you can spend money, good after bad, just money, on strengthening your customer service.
Right.
And you'll get a pop. You'll get an improvement in customer service because of the energy you're putting around it, but it won't be sustained, because you don't have those, you aren't implementing those leadership characteristics that'll take you through the long term.
Okay. So when you're talking about leadership characteristics, you're talking about a set of values, right?
Correct. They're actually behaviors. Okay. I mean, you can talk about leadership characteristics, and we can talk about people like Lee Iacocca and, you know, great leaders that we know, but it's always seemed kind of ambiguous and fuzzy to me. It's like, so what is a good leader? Can somebody translate that so I can see what it looks like,
okay,
what it sounds like? And that's what I've done, so that it's no longer fuzzy to anybody. They can go in and they can see, oh, here's what I need to do. Here's what I need to say. And I can do this tomorrow. I don't have to go to a seminar. I don't have to go to a boot camp.
Okay.
I can do it. Boom, the minute I walk in the office, turn the knob on the office door, walk in, I can start to be a better leader.
So, well, are you going
today
to share that with us?
I am.
Okay.
It's going to be posted on your website. I can list the characteristics. but I've got a little bit more of an explanation.
Fantastic.
That'll be posted on your blog.
So just as a note, check out the blog later on after the show. Give us a couple of hours to post it, and it will have this valuable information about the characteristics in detail of that perfect leader.
Okay. Right.
Okay, now let's go into a little surface explanation rather than detail.
Okay. The first element is that you have to be passionate. Well, again, what does that look like and sound like? It sounds like, you know, leaders have budget and finances on their mind. And in working with companies small and large, it's very hard for them to include service as a priority.
Okay.
Especially when they're so concerned about these other issues.
That, a lot of other issues.
That traditionally they've been concerned with and have learned to pay attention to that. So you need to balance service along with some other of the important issues on their goals, like finances. And you need to learn how to blend that message between service and finances, for example,
okay,
as being a priority. Second is that you have to communicate clear priorities. You have to tell your staff, this is what I expect. This is what I'm going to recognize. This is how you're going to work well in our company. And you have to stand by that because the rest of the staff are going to get their opinions of you by how you execute
mm-hmm.
on those priorities.
Okay.
So you got to walk the talk.
Absolutely.
The next one is listen and act on staff suggestions. This is so important. You need to open up some decision making to the staff. You need to
and a
ask,
lot of owners are not prepared to do that.
They feel very uncomfortable doing it because one of the concerns is, what if the staff come up with this harebrained idea that I don't want to do? Well, you have to think it through a little bit. You have to pick something that you're willing to share with them and get their input on. Now, you also need to give them parameters. You say, okay, look, this is open for discussion. What I'm looking for is A, B, and C. Go to it. See what you come up with, and let's toss around the ideas.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you have to use it, but it's better if you can use some components of what they've suggested.
And that's where we go back into educating the leader into communicating.
Right, that's right. Such an important point. You have to be a person to obtain the resources. I was working with a healthcare corporation once, and in interviewing their nursing staff, the biggest complaint to providing good service was they didn't have blood pressure cuffs. So did the leaders know that? No. They said, we have blood pressure cuffs, but it was like an urban myth. It was something that hadn't been addressed
really?
With the employees, and they
yeah.
still felt it was an issue, and so it sort of self-perpetuated itself. But you need to be available to identify what it is the staff needs,
right.
and to tell them that you're going to do what it takes to make that happen because you're depending on them to provide good service to your customers, and they need these resources in order to do that.
That's very cool.
Another important point is to recognize your staff and do it frequently. And this is, you know, people think of recognition as I have to go to the store, I have to go shopping, I have to look through the token catalogs and spend money.
Right.
And that's not it. It can be a thank you on a post-it note. In fact, it's more powerful if it's a handwritten note from you. You can send something on email. You can do other kinds of communication. All that is great, but the most powerful is something handwritten from you. And if you really want to make an impact, send it to their family.
Yeah, that's definitely something that a good leader and executive should put in his calendar to remind him to do.
Absolutely.
Because of the busy schedule. A lot of people actually forget
Absolutely.
To do that.
Yep.
And do actually, they do remember when they see someone else doing it.
Yep.
Or go to a seminar and say, right, I know that.
That's right. Why didn't I do that? And the next step is empathy. You have to show understanding for what this person sitting across from you is going through. I shared an example on your blog site about somebody who's always late. They have an attendance issue, for example, and it's causing a real problem. You have to be able to say, what's happening here? instead of just getting frustrated and annoyed, you have to be able to sit across from the person, give them your full attention, and sincerely say, what's going on? How can I help you? What can I do to help? Because it's important that you be at work on time. So that's the way you use empathy. It's an expression. It's a statement of concern. How can I help you? That's the way you can use empathy.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But, you know, that's the one that I think a lot of people will be looking to.
Right. You have to show some understanding. And then people are going to respect you. That's where you get the trust and respect.
Right.
They're going to respect you because you took the time. You sacrificed the part of your day to try to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, when I said that's a tough one, I meant it's actually easy, very easy one. It's a tough one for a lot of owners and so on, where the balance between their responsibilities and the responsibilities or expectations of the employees is kind of maybe shaken when we're talking about getting into that gray zone when the relationships are a little kind of flaky there, and getting actually the strength to come down and talk to the employee from that.
Yeah. You know, try it once. Mm-hmm. There's such a big payoff.
Yeah.
You'll feel good and your employee will feel good. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. You just got to buck it up and try it once.
All right.
The next point is to role model. And, of course, you know what that means.
Yeah.
But if you don't walk the talk, let's say you set out these expectations for your staff, And right away they watch you doing something differently.
Well, I like to kind of put the expectations and go to Vegas. Isn't that what it's all about?
If that is an expectation, Nick, that you have of you and your staff, you can put that on your values list. We will celebrate in Vegas at least once a year, and they will love you for it. So that's, in summary, those are the leadership characteristics. And if you don't have those in place, anything that you do about service, because everything about service is asking them to do something for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or asking them to change a behavior for you. And they're not going to do it unless they have your trust and respect.
Well,
and that's why it's so important.
Now, those are the characteristics, in short, of a strong leader. However, when we flip the coin, what are the biggest mistakes people make in dealing with employees?
You know, well, one of the things that I can suggest is that in the recruiting and hiring process, I don't think leaders, again, because of time, I don't think they take the time to do the appropriate recruiting and hiring process. It's almost like due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to put in the time up front into your recruiting and hiring process. And you don't have to do it all by yourself. Get your staff involved. This is a great way, again, to fall back on those leadership characteristics. Get your staff involved in setting questions, setting the values. What are your expectations? Have them be part of your panel interview to select the person that's the right fit for you and your company, and blends with your staff. They'll also have a lot more, there'll be less peer pressure because they've been part of the decision-making about who you pick to be
right.
part of their group.
That's an interesting concept.
It works. It works gangbusters as far as getting the staff involved and making them feel like they're part of your company and part of the process and that you're willing to share with them. That's a huge decision. Who you bring on to work with them, and you'll gain great respect just by sharing that with them.
That's a great point, but you have shared a lot of time, leadership, employee management. But what do you do when you have to deal with a difficult employee that's making your life miserable?
Well, one of the things to consider is that you're probably locked in a power struggle.
Yeah.
So if that employee has lost respect for you and is always trying to take your power away, And one of the ways they do that is by getting, they're kind of in a rabble-rousing mode.
Mm-hmm.
They will do whatever it takes to power them, intimidation, peer pressure, documentation, whatever it takes. They will try to gain power. The staff become fearful of them.
Right.
And so they become the leader by proxy of your group, and you're shut out. So what you need to do is to learn how to break that power struggle between you and that difficult employee. And one of the ways you can do that is include them in the decision-making process. Now, that might be difficult for some of us to get to that point, think about it. There's something that you've got going, some process you have to change, some task that you have to do. Is there some piece of that that you can delegate to this person? I've shared a story on your blog also about an employee that I worked with that was very difficult, just making my life miserable, doing tons of documentation and using that documentation to file grievances or other false reports about people. And it was a time when I was faced with a very difficult move, and I had a lot of other things on my plate, so I needed help with the move. I asked this employee, I said, "You are so good at taking notes." So I spun that negative about her documenting everybody to saying, "You're so good at taking notes, and you're extremely organized. Would you help me? Would you be willing to help me manage this move?" And it was a huge assignment.
Right.
And she willingly took it on, and she had great success with it. But that way, I was sharing my power. Now, I've got to point out two things that are really, really key. One is to push the help button. It works beautifully with everybody. I don't care what kind of struggle you're in your personal or professional life. If you push the help button, if you ask somebody for help, it's huge. You're going to be amazed at the response you got.
I'm going to exercise that today.
Very good.
I'll let you know what happens.
Good deal. Let me know. The second thing that's important is to say, would you be willing? Just take that phrase and say those words. If you've got a difficult thing to ask somebody, would you be willing to give it a try? If you want somebody to, for example, say their name when they answer the phone, and they're just adamantly opposed to it. But that's an important customer service value. You say, would you be willing to give it a try? I will be here to back you up. If anybody criticizes you or says, so-and-so, they know your name, so so-and-so told me this and it didn't happen, I will be there to back you up 100%. Would you be willing to try it?
Those
and I bet they will.
Very cool points.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I hope that people out there listening will, there's a little computer, but it's not a glitch. But that will try and apply that. When we spoke the other day, and you mentioned a couple of examples just like this lady that you mentioned now, what would be the biggest difference working with employees as a small business owner or in a corporate environment?
Well, as a small business owner, you have a lot more latitude. It can be just as difficult, but you have a lot more latitude in order to set your values and to exact some kind of consequence. In a corporation, there's usually a much tighter control over consequences. For example, in a union environment, that becomes very, very difficult. So I would think that when you're in a small business, you can be more effective at making these kinds of changes and in expecting those kinds of changes to happen. And if they don't, then you can bring on people who will do the right thing for you.
But that's where you come in, because in a more difficult environment where an outside consultant is needed to fix the problem, that's where you would step in, right?
Yeah, I can come in, and I can suggest what it is you do, but again, it gets back to the leadership. You're not going to get somebody who's recalcitrant and just does not like you, especially in a large corporation environment, if they don't want to do it for you,
right,
they don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it comes to the leadership characteristics. And it may not happen overnight, especially if it's a corporation that has decades of a certain culture.
Right, right.
It takes 3 to 5 years sometimes to change a service culture. Wow. When you get into a large organization like that, and it's very hard for the senior leaders to be patient while that boat is making the turn.
Right, right. Well, now, how do we go from here? Like, is there a typical way of managing when you have a difficult situation like the situation with the, in the corporate environment? How difficult is it to go in and get those people to work with you? Is it that what you use your skill to actually get the same language with these people, to share responsibilities with them or expectations?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things I found is that when I go into that environment, I can easily become the leader by proxy. So you can become the leader and people start following me and doing what I ask them to do. And then when I step aside, it can fall apart.
And the responsibility would be given
because
to the
because their actual leader
uh-huh.
has not been able to practice those behaviors. So one of the things that I try to do is to express my concern to the leader that they need to change their behaviors themselves.
It's a very complex issue when working with employees. And I know in my previous life, I had I knew this company where it was a network, like a chain, and they had employees that they couldn't deal with, and they would occasionally just bring in this, we call him the cleaner.
Uh-oh.
He would be an outside person that would actually come in and just check the performance tables and fire or get rid of the people that were not performing properly, but there was nothing actually done in improving the skill. Because it didn't come down, the non-performance didn't come from the employee. It came actually from the skill of the leader to
correct
to make the
performance. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
Good. So if somebody would want to acquire your assistance, how would they get hold of you?
I have an 800 number.
Hey.
Yay. 888-822-1253. And the initial consultation, there's no charge for the initial consultation. So if you want to contact me and ask me a question on the 800 line, that's great. And if you would like to get together in person to do an initial consultation, then I can see immediately where your strengths and opportunities are and where you need to start to build your service culture.
Excellent. And what type or size of companies can you help?
Any size. You know, several people have asked me, who needs this? Well, you can, if you're a real estate broker, or if you're a financial manager, or if you are in a sign business, you need the seven-step solution. If you, I'm sorry, I lost my thought for just a second. That's the question again. Oh, so anybody needs it. If you have a client or a customer, anybody, large or small, then you need to have a service culture.
All right. So you got the number with us today, Verena Summer?
Yes, and I'm developing a website. It's going to be called The Service Advisors, and a lot of this information I'm going to share on the website. So this will be for the do-it-yourselfers that are listening.
Excellent, excellent.
So they don't have to go into the consulting mode. Sometimes that's the right thing for people to do, but others feel like, you know, I want to take a crack at it myself and see what I can learn and see what techniques I can start to use to see if I can build my service culture.
See, I'll just kind of add on, like, some cream on top of this is, like, I just compared the other day. A lot of people kind of tend not to kind of or to stay away from spending some money in developing or building their business or building a good foundation in the business or getting a consultant to help them with their business. And by accident, I actually got to see this homeowner preparing their house for sale, and they spent $20,000 to increase the value of the house.
Correct.
And it's totally common. I mean, that's what's expected from you. However, when the business owner is preparing their business for sale, they would like to sell it without any income stream or revenue.
Right.
And make some money without putting any money into it. And what I found, I'm sorry, I know you're kind of right on top of this, is that if they just took that money, like the homeowner, and put it back into the business, they wouldn't have to sell it maybe.
And actually, it's one of the most cost-effective treatments for your business, whether you're healthy or you're looking to sell or you're looking to just reevaluate the way you do business. It's one of the most cost-effective systems because it's all behavioral-based.
Yeah.
So it's not going to cost. I've seen companies spend $20,000 on service consultants, and it doesn't. They don't have kind of long-term success because the leadership elements aren't there. The senior executives put pressure on the middle managers who are trying to implement the service program, and the priorities always get pulled away from service.
And a lot of times that happens to the corporate environment. That's. Well, I kind of can't stick with the corporate environment because I just can't stand that all not everybody's talking all the time. You
know? It's one of the big issues around leadership. You have to share information.
Yeah. All right. So far, so much for this time. I really appreciate you coming down here and joining us and sharing all this valuable information.
Thank you for having me, Nick. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. And everyone else out there, have a great week. I know it's going to be a fantastic one. So join us next Monday. Thanks for listening. Bye.